You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, above all things, remember to maintain a skip in your step and joy in your heart. We've got this.
That's a great Memphis group from Treadwell High School, the Gentries, starring Jimmy Hart of wrestling fame, you know, the Mouth of the South, and
Larry. I thought that Raspberry. Was you, Keith.
No, that's an, but let me tell you, we're going to play, I'm going to try to twist his arm to play their other
we'll
hit
see.
Song. Cinnamon Girl,
we'll see.
Which is much better than the author Neil
Young's
version.
It can't be
better
than that.
That is the best of its type. That's it. But Cinnamon Girl is great, and you got to hear it for the contrast.
Hey, any event, my point is, keep on dancing because we've got this. I mean, keep joy, keep faith. How can we lose when we have people on our side, the likes of which you've already heard this evening? Kevin McDonald, Tom Sunich, Paul Fromm, Gregory Hood, and now, as we continue to spoil in our embarrassment of riches, Sam Dixon, to close the program tonight. We've got talent like this on our side. Let the heavens may fall, but we're going to be standing in the end. Sam, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you this evening.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you for all you do. And Keith and everybody else, you all work very hard week after week after week.
Well, we all do.
We're trotting out Sam out of the bullpen to be the closer here in the ninth
he's
inning.
The closer. He's the heavy hitter. But he was tuned in to the first 2 hours, we just found out. So we'd like to give him the opportunity to offer a reaction or response to anything he's heard for the first 2 hours before we get into the topics tonight that we want to cover with him.
No, I can't really contribute anything to what they have said except to express my praise for all of them. They're all fantastic people. You know, we forget how much Kevin McDonald gave up to enter this cause. He was at the pinnacle of his profession. And I've known Paul Fromm since the 1960s. I met him in the 1960s at the Young Republican Convention in Chicago. And Sunich, of course, goes way back and has brought a European perspective to all of this, and I've forgotten just what a tremendous speaking voice Gregory Hood has.
Yes,
what a tremendous voice.
He speaks almost as well as he writes.
That's the thing. I mean, yeah, that was his first time on the, you know, of course, we've known Gregory Hood for so many years, Sam. That's his first time on the show, if you can believe it. But I mean, he surely commanded it, and I did not know that you had met Paul so long ago as the 1960s. I mean, we still had a chance back then.
I remember when we met him at the Shoney's and he was giving a speech. And
except that was in the early 2000s. That's Paul Fromm. Keith is talking about. Paul was barnstorming the country and speaking to small groups, and we had him here in Memphis at a Shoney's restaurant meeting room, and it was full, but nevertheless, yes, I mean, we all share stories, and we all share scars, but in any event, this has been a great coming out party as we get back to regularly scheduled programming after a couple of months of special broadcasts, and to have Sam close it all out tonight is something that I was intent on doing, and thankfully he had the availability and the willingness.
You always depend on the closure to win the game.
He had the availability and the willingness to accommodate us.
I think you're excessive in your praise. As I often say, I'm a very humble person with a lot to be humble about. And
isn't that what Churchill said about Clement Attlee?
Yeah, Churchill did have it. Was witty. It was the only good thing about him. But he could coin a phrase. You wonder how long he took to do that. The French have an expression, l'esprit de l'escalier, the wit of the staircase. That's the witty remark you wish you had made, and when you tell the story, you claim to have made the witty remark. But I think there's a lot of that in Churchill.
Well, anyway, duplicity in Churchill for sure.
There's a new movie out on Netflix called The Darkest Hour, in which the very talented actor Gary Oldman plays Churchill, and you wouldn't even recognize Oldman in this in his costume and in his makeup for this, but he does a wonderful job. And according to the movie, Churchill won World War II by weaponizing the English language, and he certainly had an ability.
He destroyed
there.
The white race in Europe.
Yeah, maybe that's what he did. Yeah, that, to put a finer point on it. But, if only people like that were fighting for the right side.
Well, just look at the mess that Britain is in today, and all of that stems from the stupidity of Winston Churchill. You can hardly criticize him because he's a demigod. Anglo-Saxon people worldwide worship him when he was the worst prime minister Britain has ever had. And you really wonder, it's a toss-up as to whether he or Lenin was the most destructive figure in the last century.
He loved war, but he was the worst Allied general in World War I. He's the only Allied general that managed to lose a major engagement to the Ottoman Turks.
Previously to his inauguration as prime minister. But, we only have a minute or two remaining this segment, and let's continue on with this. I'm going to give you the floor. And it's always the honor to give you the floor. But I was thinking about having Adrian Davis on today because the inauguration of Charles was today, or the coronation of Charles, I guess. But we didn't have time because we were so booked. I'm going to try to have Adrian on next week. But continue on with Churchill and what you saw today in that pomp and circumstance.
I didn't watch it, actually. I read about it. When I hear about it, it was a great celebration of diversity. But I don't know. Just every institution has betrayed us. Every social class has betrayed us in its own way, and the royal family has betrayed us in its own way. And it's just I don't know. We live in a very dark age.
I think the royal family has a special place in hell.
Well, somebody, I don't remember which email or which website or where I saw this. But they were making the comment that the establishment of the royals is allowed to exist only because it does its bidding. If it was actually a threat to the system, they would have been liquidated.
Well, it isn't allowed to. It's under attack, and Charles will probably be the last king. They'll probably remove him. He has done things that don't please them. These people in our cause don't know those things, but he's done several things that were very good. And that has caused him to be disliked. And that's one reason why the media glorified Princess Diana and derided him when she was the main problem. But you know, they hate the institution of monarchy. They hate it because one thing they hate it is that the slimy politicians and the cheap celebrities can't climb to the top of the heap in Great Britain the way they can here. My father was a sentimental monarchist, and he said that it's worth having a monarchy just to have Queen Elizabeth picture up in the post office instead of vote-grubbing politicians.
That's a good place to end it after this opening segment of our third and final hour of the night, and what a great program it's been. Sam Dix, we're going to talk about seditious conspiracy with the great attorney when we come back. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Marie Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime. There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. That's AntelopeHillPublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then, the more they use the lie, the more they reproduce the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Now look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. That power protects the cells of the beast from prosecution. Why isn't Hillary in prison? She is protected. We must restore our national relationship with God. Truth is sacred in the kingdom, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9:6.
A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Folks, all pleasantries and conversations with our old friend Sam Dixon aside, let's get down to brass tacks. Sam, I believe it was one of your emails this week where I learned the headline, which I'm about to read. Four Proud Boys, including leader Enrique Tarrio, guilty of seditious conspiracy for January 6th Capitol attack. So seditious conspiracy, this is something that prior to Stuart Rhodes of the Oath Keepers a few weeks ago, I don't think anybody had been tried and convicted of since, maybe ever, but certainly since the 1860s. You had a lot of thoughts on this, so share them with us, please.
Okay, all right. Are we on now?
Yes, we're on now. Go.
Oh, I thought we were talking offline. Yes, the system is using law more and more as a weapon. They have coined the phrase lawfare. They're waging law upon those who oppose the system. Like Gregory Hood was saying, they have decided to stamp out all dissent, and they have shed any pretense of belief in freedom of speech or opposition to censorship. They're now out in the open as what we always knew they were. Even when we were in high school, having to listen to liberal teachers carry on about how liberals were opposed to censorship, even as they carefully shielded us from any book in any course for 5 years when I was in high school that ever questioned what liberals believe. So they were obviously censoring what we could read and force-feeding us with their garbage. But anyway, the Proud Boys thing is an interesting case, like what Keith was saying. Early on, and when John Adams was president, there was an experiment with the Alien and Sedition Act to make it illegal to criticize the public officials and this kind of thing, and it played a big role in the defeat in the election of Jefferson and the removal of the Federalists from power. Throughout our history, there have been efforts to use the Sedition Act. They generally have failed. Franklin Roosevelt had a major one, which has been forgotten, called the Great Sedition Trial. He had the Attorney General write to critics around the country and ask for copies of their writings. And when they sent them in to Washington, D.C., this supposedly established the venue in Washington, D.C. for a grand conspiracy trial. In which these people were brought in, were dragged from all over the country and financially bankrupted by a nine-month trial that went nowhere, but got a lot of favorable publicity, of course, in the media. But anyway, eventually the effort failed. The judge, who had been very much in the camp of the prosecution, died, and they never resumed it because the war ended, and it had become something of an embarrassment. Anyway, that was Roosevelt's attempt to use it to silence his opponents. Interestingly enough, the prosecutor there was later awarded a Lenin Prize by Stalin. So he was certainly up for the job. You won't read that in the history books. But this sedition thing now is being used against people like the Proud Boys. The Proud Boys are not with us. I mean, they're an interracial group, and they're opposed to racism. But the principle of law is very bad for us. and it exposes the system for what they're doing. One of these people wasn't even present in Washington on the January 6th demonstration. And he was convicted by basis that he wrote things that motivated the people who entered the Capitol. You know, this is really something. You can imagine what the left and the system would have said if say, when Reagan was president, or even better, back in the 60s when Nixon was president, if somebody had tried to prosecute left-wing writers because they had motivated the SDS to attack the draft boards. They were just in this howl of indignation from these people. But now they're doing it to us. As I said before, these people have chosen the rules. The idea we can go back to an America that really never existed, but back to some sort of imaginary happy time in the past, and that we could ever live with these people happily in the same society, is off the table. You can't do that. They have chosen the rules. And if our people ever emerge at the end of this process victorious, the same rules must be applied to them that they have applied to us. And they will have no right to bond as the...
There we go.
They refuse to...
No, yeah. Habeas corpus.
They've chosen all of this. Go on.
I said no habeas corpus. That's what they've done with the January the 6th people. You know, the most fundamental right... Yeah. The same one that Abraham Lincoln abrogated back against the Maryland legislature back in 1861.
Yeah. Well, you wrote here, Sam, that this guilty verdict of seditious conspiracy, and as you mentioned, and this should be repeated, that the Proud Boys are not with us per se, and no more than the Oath Keepers were with us, because I can remember a situation at which the Oath Keepers were reportedly there in New Orleans to protect a monument to Robert E. Lee some years ago. At the same demonstration, Michael Hill and the League of the South also turned out to defend the monument, and then the Oath Keepers left their side of the line to go stand with Antifa against the League of the South. So these people are not necessarily with us, but Stuart Rhodes preceded Enrique Tarrio and some of these Proud Boys of having been found guilty of seditious conspiracy. You write that this is another breakthrough for the system's project of criminalizing opposition and making the First Amendment just for show. You don't have to be present when a crime is committed if your words have created a motivation for the crime, according to the system.
If they've decided that you're a villain.
Imagine how the courts, and we use that with quotations and an asterisk, and the system media would have responded to George Wallace had George Wallace tried Lester Maddox, such a prosecution against new left figures in the 1960s, or if conservative Ronald Reagan had tried prosecuting leftists under a claim that they were guilty of motivating rioters. The system is a sham, Sam. Sam the sham. The Constitution is a sham. The Bill of Rights is a sham. Law enforcement is a sham. The system and its apparatus, it almost go, should it not,
well,
Sam?
Let me say this before we get
on. Well, that's Sam's own writing. But yeah.
But well, what I was going to say is that I believe that all this January the 6th nonsense about calling it an insurrection or seditious is to distinguish it from the sacred civil rights protests and whatnot that basically the people on January the 6th thought they were mimicking when they went to the Capitol. And it's, they want to say, oh, no, this is much, much different from that. And it's not. It's the same thing, and you see the differential treatment.
Yes. Well, they've never treated us equally. There's a reason why we were all made to recite in school every single day the pledge to the flag, with a nation with liberty and justice for all. The system needed to grind that into people's brains in order to disguise what it has done and what is especially doing now. But, you know, the Constitution has never been there when we needed it. And in 1861, we needed the Constitution, and Abraham Lincoln repealed the Constitution. And in 1917 and 18, we needed the Constitution to deal with Woodrow Wilson and the warmongers, the munition industries, getting us involved in a war where she had absolutely no business entering, and we didn't have it. Woodrow Wilson repealed the Constitution, and you know, if you were opponent to Wilson, you couldn't use the mail. They were prosecuted Tom Watson in Georgia because he had a magazine that criticized the Federal Reserve System and the Draft Act. So they, you know, in 1941, we needed a constitution to oppose Roosevelt, and we didn't have a constitution. It's really been just smoke and mirrors. And one thing people don't realize, Keith, you won't know this as a lawyer, but I'm embarrassed to say it never dawned on me until I had to actually deal with it. But in law school, we hear about these cases. You read some cases in the Supreme Court. There's one called something like Jehovah's Witnesses versus City of Griffin, where the City of Griffin tried to make it to crack down on people going door to door for religious reasons, and they're just obviously unconstitutional and wrongful. And anyway, this thing, the Supreme Court ended up bringing a decision about, you know, the rights of religious expression and the right of freedom of speech and all that. But it never dawned on me when I was a young law student that these Jehovah's Witnesses lost at the city court level, they lost at the county level, they lost at the state appellate court level, they lost at the district court level, they lost at the appeal district, the federal appellate court level. And then finally, 4 years later, they got the right to hand out their pamphlets door to door in Griffin, Georgia.
Now, I can grind you down.
To pay for that? $500,000. How many people can afford that? Most of these illegal acts.
James Edwards couldn't when he got sued.
We sued. I still couldn't pay for that. But anyway, we were the plaintiffs in that one, believe it or not. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. More with wonderful Sam Dixon right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Varmish. The suspect in a shooting at a shopping mall in Allen, Texas this afternoon is dead. Shots were fired at the Allen Premium Outlets, a suburb of Dallas. The mall was evacuated, with at least 9 people being transported to area hospitals. Elaine Panicaro tells me she was just doing a day of shopping with her daughter.
The first, you know, set of pops definitely sounded further away. And then, you know, within seconds, the second set of shots was pretty much directly in front of us.
Multiple victims, including children, are being reported, although the number of dead is not known. The president is coming to his son's defense.
President Biden is defending his son's business dealings ahead of possible federal charges. In an interview on MSNBC, Biden said,
"First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him."
The Washington Post has reported the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware is looking into Hunter Biden's business dealings in China and the income he received from serving on the board of the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. I'm John Schaefer.
Biden is sending troops to prepare for the expected surge in migrants crossing the border when Title 42 expires in just a matter of days. In addition to the troops, Biden says he's sending judges and other officials to help determine who's allowed to enter the U.S. Madge is the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby. Two Phils and Angel of Empire round out the top three. It was a race that was marred by tragedy. Two horses running in preliminary races on Saturday had to be euthanized. A day of celebration in the streets of London as King Charles III has officially been crowned. The coronation comes nearly 8 months after the death of his mother, Queen Elizabeth II. Prince Harry attended the coronation, however, his wife, Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, remained in California. This is USA News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Sometime before Christmas, Sam was with us and he made the prophetic revelation that Trump would be indicted in Georgia by the reigning DA.
Fannie
Willis. Well, it hadn't happened yet. It's about to happen. But in any event, this was even prior to his indictment and arrest in New York. But now here we have on Friday, May the 5th, which, by the way, was my 17th wedding anniversary to my wife, Danny. And if you go back 17 years, you can count down to that was 2006. I started this show in 2004. So when she married me, she already knew what she was getting in for. And she has been an outstanding
partner. Probably why she delayed 2 years, right?
Well, she's been an outstanding partner and an outstanding wife and homeschool mother and gave it up all. And has been with me side by side for 17 years as a married couple. Of course, we met in 2001, so even longer than that in our relationship. But nevertheless, our anniversary was just yesterday. And just yesterday at CNN.com, this headline read, at least 8 fake electors have been granted immunity in the Georgia Trump investigation. The story continues, at least 8 of the Republican fake electors, this is CNN here, in Georgia have accepted immunity deals in an ongoing criminal investigation into efforts by Donald Trump and his allies to overturn the 2020 election there, according to a new court filing. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis had previously notified all 16 GOP fake electors, CNN writes, in Georgia, that they were targets in her investigation. Last month, Fannie Willis offered, it just says Willis here, last month, Willis offered immunity deals to several of the Republicans who served as pro-Trump electors, and they accepted according to the filing. Now, it doesn't say here, Sam, exactly what's going on. I guess presumably they're rolling over on Trump to give them the prosecution what they want. But you said this back in December, even before he was arrested and indicted and arrested in New York, that this was coming in Georgia. You knew what has still not happened, but is apparently about to happen, and this is just another layer to that cake.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. And presumably the immunity deals involve these people testifying that they felt that Trump was urging them to overturn the election illegally or something. There'll be a lot of testimony on how they felt, which should not come in at all, but it will be allowed in by the Fulton County judge. And Trump has almost zero chance of being acquitted by a Fulton County jury. This is a county, I think Fulton County voted 82% for Biden. And what we're seeing here is all over America, there are these no-go places. Like in Northern Ireland, they used to have these no-go areas. If you were a Protestant, you didn't go there into one area. If you were a Roman Catholic, you didn't go into another area. Well, we have these no-go areas like New York and Chicago and Atlanta, where basically the government could convict anybody because they're in front of a jury that's completely on the government side. And you know, the system used to talk all the time, the journalists, about the all-white jury, that so-and-so had been acquitted, or an all-white jury failed to convict the people accused of Emmett Till's death. Well, what do you have now in places like Washington, D.C. and Atlanta? Washington, D.C. voted 93% for Biden. But what are the chances that any of these people could be acquitted in a jury, by a jury in a jurisdiction like that? But the broader picture is that this is what you expect in a country that is on its last legs, a system that's on its last legs.
Well, it's the result of diversity. This is the result of diversity.
Yeah.
You cannot get a jury trial. The right of trial by jury is kaput, okay? It's no longer there.
Yeah.
And
if though it's there, it's just it's window dressing. Our system is very good at window dressing. You know, the First Amendment, liberal teachers and professors telling you how they're put to censorship, even while they censor everything inside. Yes, you know, so they're good. This phony. By the way, she pronounces her first name not Fanny. That's it spelled phony.
Like short fat Fanny. Phony. Song by Larry Wilson.
We want to get it right here. Fanny.
Yeah, well, it's phony. National Radio is very careful.
Phony. How phony. About that?
Phony. Well, Keith, you and I were talking about this. At supper, Keith, we were talking about this. This whole thing about this would be coming, and previously, one of the things that was mentioned. You couldn't get what Sam has talked about earlier, just right now, that you couldn't get an all-white jury. I mean, how dare the white people who gave the law itself presume that they could...
There will be no problem with an all-black jury for Trump, though.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's Sam to you on that.
No, there was no problem with a 11-black, 1-white jury for O.J. Simpson. You'll never hear them talking about that. But what Ms. Willis is up to, talking about window dressing, is that the latest thing in Georgia is that she is liaising with law enforcement, with the police and the National Guard and the GBI, because of the danger of public upheaval and violence when she announces her indictments. There is about as much chance of hearing of there being any violence or upheaval or demonstration at the Fulton County Courthouse that when she announces her indictment of Trump as it is that we will hear a rendition of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus sung by shrimps singing in a choir on the Appalachian Mountain Heights. You know, but all this is designed to lend drama.
That's actually a question I had for you tonight, Sam, is why is she stalling this? Why is she delaying the inevitable? I mean, obviously, there has to be a timing to this. New York announced theirs some weeks ago. This all is a part of the drama and the pageantry of the presidential primaries and elections, which Trump will be presumably running in, come early to 2024. But when is she going to announce this, and why is she delayed this far? When is it likely to happen? Any insights on that? You got your ear to the ground in Atlanta more than we do.
No, they talk about that she's doing this strategically, but they don't really seem to say literally what the reason is. I guess the reason is that they want to delay it to have as much impact on Trump. Election campaign. They went too early. And I just don't think Trump is going to go anywhere. I think they're going to convict him and put him in jail. I don't see how she can lose.
You said that last Christmas, before Christmas, you said that. And at that time, it was still a little bit of a surprise. But I think now, what are the odds that he gets to run the primary and win the primary, which I think, he is the front runner right now as far as...
They're not going to allow that under any circumstances. If he runs that gauntlet, I think they'll have him assassinated.
But do you think he'll go to prison before he can win the nomination or the presidency?
Yeah, well, I think they'll do something like that. This is how a country like Uganda or Haiti or the United States of America is run. And America is becoming a third world country with this kind of stunts, the insurrection, the claim by the whole insurrection thing. What was just from A to Z, an illustration of what a joke the American government has become. You know, Pelosi violated the traditions of how you choose a panel, a committee. She stacked it 7-2 against the Republicans instead of it ought to have been something like 5-4. And then she changed the tradition, which is that the opposing party chooses which members serve on the committee. No, Nancy Pelosi chose which members of the opposing party. So she chose little Miss Wheelchair, little Miss Money Making from Guns crook, Liz Cheney, who hates Trump because she deprived her and Daddy Dick of a nice lucrative war. She doesn't give a damn about all the guys in the wheelchairs or the coffins. She's got her bank account to think about, and she could be relied on to do whatever Pelosi wanted. And then they hired a choreographer from Hollywood to choreograph the hearing. I mean, it's just beyond Stalin. It's just ludicrous.
They've improved upon the standard, but you know, this was something, and again, I can't remember where I read it now, if it was a blog or an email I received, but the fact that we now live in a nation and under a system in which the successor president removes every memory and every monument to his predecessor. And
that's the definition of a banana republic. Basically, I'd call America a banana republic, but that would be
a disservice to bananas, bananas which we like. Anyway, one more segment with Sam Dixon. Always one of the best of the best, one of the top five most interviewed guests in the history of this program, which I'm starting to get old now. We've been on the air so long. But anyway, we'll be right back with one more segment with Sam right after this.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I want to live with a cinnamon girl. I can be happy for the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl.
I don't know, Keith. I mean, I got to tell you, the Gentry's peaked with the song we played previously, not with Cinnamon Girl. Keep on Dancing was the peak. That was not it.
But on the other hand,
hold on. I don't think you're even mic'd up. There you go.
Now I am. Okay. But that was the best song ever by Neil Young. And
I hope Neil Young will remember.
That's right, yeah. But that is my favorite version of it. That is so much better than his acoustic guitar.
You know what's better than that, though, is this one.
Hey, baby, won't you take a chance?
Chris Montez.
You got to have a little bit of fun in the midst of all this dreariness, do you not, ladies and gentlemen? And that good stuff from the 50s and 60s always gets us going, does it not, Keith?
Oh,
I was born in 80.
Yeah,
you were born
that was back
I was born
in
80. You were born in 20, but.
No. In 50s. But let me tell you, that's the halcyon days. But it's been all downhill since then.
That's right. Anyway, let's go back with Sam. Let's get serious again if we can refocus here. Sam Dixon, author, orator, attorney, and top five guests in the history of TPC.
And bon vivant.
He's actually number two behind Jared Taylor. That's it. That's it out of all of the guests we've ever interviewed. He's right there at the very top, and for very good reason, as you're hearing tonight and as you can testify to. But, Sam, this this situation, Trump's indictment and arrest, the J6 trials, you got this guy facing 47 years for putting his foot up on Pelosi's desk. He says the media posed him.
And then they're going after the Tiki Torch.
That's another one. The Charlottesville trial, the original trial a couple of years ago, the civil trial, and now this new push there to indict the Tiki Torch marchers and the mass banning of dissidents from social media, the firing of Tucker Carlson. We've been talking about a lot of this tonight. The rush to pass this so-called hate crimes bill in Ireland. The mismanagement of relations with Russia that could have globally catastrophic repercussions and the
dollarization of the world.
The list goes on and on. A lot is going on right now. This is the question, Sam. Does the system, in your opinion, feel particularly powerful or particularly vulnerable right now?
Well, they're very powerful. I mean, they also are drunk on themselves. The system throughout history generally fail. On two accounts. One is the overreach. They get too drunk on themselves, and that's certainly the case now. And the other is when the thinking people become divided in their opinions about the system, and that's happened also. 40 years ago, the system had virtually total support from the thoughtful, influential elements of the American people. It was not deserved, but they believed. In the FBI, they believe in J. Edgar Hoover. They were happy that Franklin Roosevelt was on the dime. That's not the case now. And so the two things that all these things are tending toward a catastrophic collapse of the system. We don't know when it will come. We don't know which rock the rotten ship will break apart on. But it's coming. It could be any number of things. An amnesty would bring it down. An amnesty will reduce the country to chaos. So it will go the way of Bosnia and Herzegovina. A war with China over Taiwan will probably result in the destruction of the American Navy. It'll be our version of the Spanish Armada, and it will be a real shock to the American people who still believe in our military and believe in our government to see that. America is not what it was 60 years ago. So there are all kinds of things.
That actually leads me into my very next question, which ties into what you were just mentioning. Sometimes what is bad for an individual can be good for a cause. And we have to remember, we are collective. We are not a group of individuals. We are a collective. What can be bad for an individual can be good for a cause. In the sense that the disemboweling and quartering of William Wallace was good for his cause, could anything that we're witnessing now and the things that you just mentioned potentially be good for our cause?
Yes, I think it can be. I think public sympathy is very involved. People like this Marine up in New York City who will probably be put in jail the rest of his life. The people are seeing these people as what they are. They're martyrs. They're seeing them the way people in England saw the victims of Bloody Mary during the Reformation. The burnings did not stop the Reformation. They encouraged the Reformation by undermining faith in the established church and in the Queen. And so I think these things is something we have to go through. Nothing is going to be easy about this, but our enemies are doing everything we would have them do. They are shredding themselves. They're shredding their ability. They're overreaching. They're really bringing things to a boil, and it just can't work. If something can't work, it can't work. And this system is contrary to human nature. It's contrary to science. It's contrary to reason. It's contrary to the law of God. It's opposed to everything, and it's like Soviet communism was the same way. It could never work. It was always doomed to fail, and this thing here is doomed to fail. Letting mobs run amok in Chicago, raiding all the stores, and the mayor comes out and denounces the businesses that are leaving Chicago as white racist because they're leaving the historically underserved minorities. This is just good for us. Chicago could easily become Port au Prince North.
Yeah, you know, there
could be nothing in Chicago except unemployed street toughs and gangs running everything. And then you'll have people like Biden and AOC and all that trying to bail them out and telling everybody else in the country that we have to give them colossal amounts of money and all this stuff. So it's all good. It's a very unpleasant. You and I may suffer from it. I think that there's no question they start indicting you and Keith for motivating people.
Well, I think that all of the cities are going to disintegrate basically if it keeps on like this. I forget who said if things can't go on forever, they won't. You can't run a country like this. It's just impossible.
It will not work.
I think I remember go ahead.
If you don't enforce shoplifting laws, the country can't function.
No, commerce leave cities, and people in the cities
You can't have grocery stores. You have DAs that say it's okay to go in and steal up to $900 a day from the grocery store. I mean, it does take a Harvard degree to figure out that this isn't going to work. But our enemies are so drunk themselves. They're so hate-crazed at us. That they can't control themselves. They're sawing off the limb they're sitting on, which is all good for us.
Well, what they say is that the gods grind slow, but they grind exceeding fine. I think that when the reaction comes to this, it's going to be cataclysmic, basically. But
the opposition is what we need to be talking about. As I said before, we need to, the Lincoln, no more we're led by Jefferson Davis and they're led by Lincoln. We are under attack. These people want our extinction. They hate us. They hate the children. They hate white children. They hate white people. They hate the English language. They hate the church. They hate everything about us. And this is we're in a street fight. We're in a street fight, and they have chosen the rules. There can't be any of this kiss and make up and oh. Welcome in Heidi Beirich. Welcome in Hillary Clinton. No. These people have declared themselves as our enemies. They have shown their refusal to follow the rules. And you can't deal with them. You can't live in a country with people like this. You just can't do it.
The left started it, and I recall when it started. I remember when John Kennedy was assassinated. And in my school, they marched all of us silently into the gymnasium. We thought World War III had started. And then, very solemnly, the principal told us that President Kennedy had been shot and killed in Dallas. There's this pregnant pause, and suddenly there's this wild jubilation and celebrating of all the students. It was, I'd never seen anything like it. And, I'd been raised to be polite and not.
We actually had lunch together a few weeks ago, and I asked you, why was that everybody was, because Kennedy, I mean, you would have thought it was all over by the time he got in there.
No, Kennedy, people realized, white Southerners realized he was the enemy, okay? And I could never have imagined anything like that happening with Eisenhower or anyone else before then. It was like a turning point.
There was something about Kennedy that really enraged people. I've never known a president as unpopular as Kennedy was. They changed
all
that.
Made him into this Saint Camelot and all this type of stuff up north. Yeah, but I mean, he was despised down here.
He was despised not only in the South. He was despised all over the country. There was something about this little cocky, immature. A guy speaking in an Irish Boston accent,
with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Yeah, there was something about it that was just extremely irritating to people. But that all changed when he was assassinated, and they put the tremendous guilt trip on the country and turned him into our martyred president. Martyred for what? Oswald was believed to be the killer, and probably was. Well, if you ask who benefited the most, the system benefited the most by getting rid of an unpopular and incompetent president. and putting in a guy like Johnson, who they would get all the bills passed that Kennedy couldn't get passed.
Yeah, Johnson knew how the Senate worked.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
We took it all the way to the wall. We can't take it any further. Hey, Sam, give me 15 seconds. Final word.
To the stars through difficulties. The stars appear. I've gotten too many to ostracize. I have to get the slogan in Kansas. But we have to go through this, but we'll get through it, and I think we are right.
For Sam Dixon, Gregory Hood, Tom Sunich, Kevin McDonald, Paul Fromm, Keith Alexander, James Edwards, our staff and crew at Liberty News Radio Network here in Memphis as well at the local station. We will talk to you next week. What a fantastic... I couldn't have done it any better. I didn't do anything. The guests did it. The five guests you've heard from tonight is the best we have to offer. That's how we come out of 2 months of special programming. We'll talk to you next week. If God wills it, the creeks don't rise. Good night, everybody.